Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, July 11th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Twitter shares plunge after Elon Musk ends his takeover bid.
Now the future of Twitter appears to be headed for a courtroom.
Bank earnings and a key inflation report grabbed the spotlight on Wall Street this week.
And the race to succeed Boris Johnson as UK Prime Minister heats up.
Steve Bannon's attorneys say he is now willing to testify before the January 6th House Committee. Plus, Senate Majority Leader Schumer has COVID. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshaw in sports. The Yankees, for the second night in a row, blew a lead, lost to the Red Sox in Boston. The Mets were shut out. They visit the Braves tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 24 points, Dow futures down 155, and NASDAQ futures down 102. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 3.07%, and the yield on the 2-year, 3.08%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 2.25% on $2.38 at $102.40 a barrel. Nathan.
And Karen, we continue to watch shares of Twitter this morning. They are down 7% in early trading as the showdown between Elon Musk and the social media company appears headed for court. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Even though Elon Musk is backing out of the $44 billion deal to buy Twitter after all, he can't just walk away without a court case. And Twitter has lawyered up in a race to sue Musk to follow through on his end of the agreement. Bloomberg sources say a filing could come as soon as early this week. Now, if the judge rules against Musk, he could be forced to pay Twitter shareholders $54.20 a share. But a ruling in his favor would let Musk walk, although he'd probably have to pay a $1 billion breakup fee. And there's also the prospect that both sides could reach a settlement where Musk still makes the acquisition, but potentially at a lower price. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, the Twitter news is also impacting another stock this morning. Shares of Digital World Acquisition are up more than 24% on heavy volume in early trading. Digital World is the company merging with former President Trump's Trump Media and Technology Group, which owns his Truth Social platform.
Well, stocks overall, Karen, are lower as we begin this new trading week. In Asia, overnight, a resurgence of COVID flare-ups led to a drop of almost 3% for Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Kerr.
Most Asian benchmarks slid. COVID cases in Shanghai are rising as the city faces more mass testing. In Macau, authorities shut down casinos and other businesses for a week. As a result, casino shares took a big hit. Tokyo, though, was a bright spot after the ruling coalition won a stronger majority in the upper house election. The yen was the weakest major currency. Traders see the election result as an endorsement of Japan's ultra-easy monetary policy. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Well, back here in the U.S., we have conflicting calls this morning on whether the recent stock rally will continue. Morgan Stanley Chief U.S. Equity Strategist Mike Wilson says it won't. He thinks the surge in the dollar will be a headwind for corporate profits. On the flip side, Citigroup strategists say stocks are likely to rally in the second half as corporate earnings remain resilient to surging inflation and slowing economic growth. The S&P 500 is up about 6% since its mid-June low.
Well, speaking of earnings, Karen, reporting season gets underway this week as we hear from the country's biggest banks. And we get more on that from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The question on everyone's mind is a recession coming? And what clues will the latest batch of earnings reports provide? Scott Cronert is a strategist at Citigroup Global Markets.
What we're expecting to see is a follow-through of the earnings inertia we got in Q1. So we're looking for mid-single-digit earnings growth for the S&P in total. We think we'll make the Q2 expectations. Certainly, C-suites will express caution regarding the second half outlook.
Wall Street banks lead off second quarter earnings. J.P. Morgan Chase and Morgan Stanley report Thursday. Citigroup and Wells Fargo on Friday. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Well, on the economic front this week, it's all about inflation, with readings coming on consumer and producer prices. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
June's household inflation rate probably ran close to 9% based on Wall Street forecasts. It's taking a toll. Bloomberg Economics' average hourly earnings have been shrinking for more than a year when taking inflation into account. Look for that trend to drag on, with the household inflation rate projected to run at or above 7% through year end. We'll get the Consumer Price Index Wednesday, as well as data on producer prices Thursday and import prices Friday. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thanks. So when it comes to tackling inflation, the Biden administration's thinking about lowering tariffs on some Chinese imports as one way to provide relief. President Biden says he is still holding discussions on the idea. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo expects a decision from the president shortly.
If he decides to lift certain tariffs, it will be because he knows he has to think about doing everything he possibly can to provide any relief to consumers.
Secretary Raimondo made that comment on NBC's Meet the Press, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Stay tuned for more from the Commerce Secretary today. Gina Raimondo sits down with Bloomberg Radio and Television for an interview coming up in the 11 a.m. Eastern hour.
Well, in Europe this week, Nathan, the race is heating up to succeed Boris Johnson as British Prime Minister. We go to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Just days after Boris Johnson was pushed into resigning, there are now 11 candidates to succeed him as Conservative Party leader. Liz Truss, the Foreign Secretary, is the latest to enter the race. She's making tax cuts the heart of her campaign. Lawmakers are expected to begin voting later this week as the field is narrowed to the final two candidates. One of them will become the UK's next Prime Minister. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Let's stay in Europe, where natural gas prices are falling. The move comes after Canada said it would return a stranded turbine from the Nord Stream pipeline between Russia and Germany. That could potentially increase flows, which have been limited since last month. The Nord Stream pipeline between Russia and Germany is currently undergoing routine maintenance. At the same time, the war in Ukraine is sparking concern that maybe Moscow will not open the pipeline back up after the work. S&P futures are down 21 points. Dow futures down 138. NASDAQ futures lower by 88 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. At 6:07 on Wall Street, still 67 degrees in Central Park, still dealing with that crash on northbound FDR Drive at 79th. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with details on what else is happening in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Donald Trump's one-time advisor, Steve Bannon, has agreed to testify to the House committee investigating last year's storming of the U.S. Capitol. It comes after former President Trump says he waived executive privilege, even though Bannon was a private citizen at the time of the Capitol riot. Trump portrays the inquiry as biased and one-sided. Loyola Law University professor Lori Levinson says, though, the value of Bannon's testimony remains to be determined.
The real problem is that I'm not sure that they can trust Bannon at all. It is clear that he and Trump still consider themselves best friends, and that if Bannon comes in front of the committee, it is very unclear what he would say that would help their investigation but isn't just designed to help Trump.
Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson. The carpooling discount is over at the George Washington Bridge. The DWB went cashless tolls over the weekend. Normally, it's a $16 fee one way to get across the bridge from New Jersey to New York. But drivers who had a carpool discount plan on their easy passes paid only $7.50 with three or more people in the vehicle. Officials hope going cashless at the GWB will mean a faster commute into the city. New York City is debuting a fleet of cars mounted with air quality sensors in the Bronx and Manhattan this week. The plan is to address air pollution. A tragic car accident in Staten Island has left three teenagers dead. They were in a red Ford Mustang when their car collided with a turning SUV in Tottenville last night. The Mustang was split in half. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was on the scene of the crash overnight. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has met with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. He delivered condolences from President Biden and the United States over the assassination of former leader Shinzo Abe and reassurances of a strong bilateral alliance.
I thought it was just important to show our solidarity with our friend, Japan, and the Japanese people in this difficult time.
Secretary Blinken. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's office says that he has tested positive for COVID-19. A Schumer spokesman says the senator is experiencing mild symptoms. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. As we come up to 6:10 on Wall Street, we check Bloomberg Sports with John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. 24 hours after the rare occurrence of a Yankees blown lead, it happened again. Yanks led the Red Sox 4-0, later 6-2. The Sox scored the last 9 runs and won 11-6 to gain a split of the 4-game series in Boston. A J.D. Martinez home run, fifth inning off Jameson Taillon, tied the game at 6. A Trevor Story 3-run double off Miguel Castro in the 7th put it away. Yanks got home runs in defeat from Giancarlo Stanton. Yet another one from Matt Carpenter. But they were hurt by a couple of errors plus 2 catchable pop-ups that DJ LeMahieu failed to grab. Yanks are off tonight. Mets tonight begin their biggest series of the season. They are in Atlanta. It's Max Scherzer against the Braves' Max Fried. Mets couldn't score over 10 innings, lost to the Marlins 2-0, while Atlanta won in the 12th inning, and the Mets' lead, which was once 10.5 games, is now 1.5. 4 Mets named to play next week's All-Star game in L.A. Edwin Diaz, Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, and Starling Marte. And 4 Yankees were named. Gerrit Cole, Nestor Cortez, Clay Holmes, and Jose Trevino. Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton have already been named as starters. The year began for Novak Djokovic when he went to Australia and wasn't allowed to play due to being unvaccinated. He lost at the French, but he just won Wimbledon for the 4th straight time.
I don't take anything for granted. I'm very blessed to be in this position, especially considering everything that that happened this year, at the beginning of the year. I just didn't feel emotionally at a good place for several months, and was kind of trying to find the serenity and the balance on and off the court, and get myself in a position to fight for big trophies.
Djokovic now 21 career Grand Slam titles. That's one more than Roger Federer, one fewer than Rafael Nadal. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Greats all. Thank you, John. S&P futures down 20 points. Dow futures down 127. NASDAQ futures are lower by 85 points. Twitter shares down almost 7% in the pre-market with Elon Musk's buyout deal potentially headed to court. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Sunshine today. Highs near 85 degrees. Campbell had an afternoon shower or thunder shower tomorrow with a high near 90. Sunshine and a high near 90 Wednesday. Right now, 67 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures dropping this morning along with European shares as traders await the key second quarter earnings season for indications on how companies are weathering the inflation storm. The dollar is higher, bonds gaining. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 19 points, Dow futures down 118, NASDAQ futures down 81. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 3.06%. Yield on the 2-year, 3.07%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.2%, down $2.27 at $102.52 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $9 at $17.33.30 an ounce. The euro 1.0106 against the dollar. British pound 1.1944 and the yen 137.07. And Bitcoin is down 1.9% at $20,570. Also watching Twitter shares down about 7% after Elon Musk terminated his $44 billion takeover approach for the social media company. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Dozens of Ukrainian emergency workers are trying to pull people out of the rubble after a Russian rocket attack smashed into 3 apartment buildings in eastern Ukraine. At least 18 people were killed. Former Trump White House strategist Steve Bannon says he is now willing to testify before the House committee investigating the January 6th assault on the Capitol. Bannon's attorney says his client is willing to cooperate because the former president has rescinded his claim of executive privilege, even though Bannon was a private citizen at the time of the riot. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Red Sox 11-6. The Mets lost, along with the Nationals and A's. The Orioles won their 8th straight. The Giants won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And as Karen mentioned, Twitter shares are plunging in the pre-market after Tesla CEO Elon Musk pulled away from his $44 billion bid to buy the social media network. But Twitter is threatening to pull him back in the form of a court battle. Let's get the latest on where this saga is headed. Bloomberg tech reporter Aggie Cantrill joins us this morning. Aggie, I know you've been following this for months now, ever since Elon Musk announced his bid back in April. Let's talk about where how we got from there, Elon Musk making this 54-20 deal, to here, now in a dispute over bots.
Yes, so essentially the 54-20 that the deal was originally priced as, 54-20 per share, that was back in April. And from then, we've seen a lot of back and forth with Elon Musk essentially pointing out that Twitter has not provided enough evidence of the amount of bots and spam accounts on the platform, and that he's under the impression that it's much higher than the percentage that Twitter says it is. But then we're also looking at the fact that as this deal was struck, Musk has created this deal with Twitter very rapidly, much quicker than these sort of deals usually happen. And he waived the due diligence that could have taken place in which he could have asked for all of this information. And now he's backing out of the deal in what has been described by quite a few commentators as buyer's remorse.
Well, what could this mean for Elon Musk, the fact that he didn't do this due diligence, and now Twitter is threatening and potentially likely to bring him to Delaware Chancery Court to force him to consummate the deal?
Yes. So essentially, there is a reverse termination fee of $1 billion that's baked into this agreement. So that is expected. But it seems from what Twitter executives have been saying that their concern is essentially that they will be wanting to either bring him back into the deal or be paying the full amount, the $44 billion. And so it may be that that now we're seeing that Twitter is going to be engaging a very strong M&A team in order to force Elon Musk to pay a great deal more than that original termination fee, or even be forced to buy the company.
Is there a possibility, Aggie, that we could see some kind of settlement come out of this, or could Twitter be satisfied with Elon Musk taking the deal, but potentially at somewhat of a lower rate?
There seems to be speculation that there might be a settlement that, or at least discussions that are going on outside the court, while also Twitter is looking at filing this agreement, this legal case in Delaware at the same time. It's difficult to say at this point whether or not something can be settled out of court. But the difference between the €1 billion settlement, the €1 billion termination fee, and the $44 billion price that he'd originally planned to buy it for, there's something quite significant there. And there's also a potential that this is Elon Musk playing hardball. He's gone back on agreements in the past, and it could be that he, going forward, he might actually be doing this in order to pressure the company to lower the price.
From the analysts that you've been speaking to, Aggie, where's the bigger burden of proof if this does go into a court battle in Delaware? Twitter proving that it's given the information, or Elon Musk proving that there are more bots than Twitter's said it has?
From what we've been seeing, it seems that that Twitter is potentially, while obviously not happy about what is happening, at the same time is potentially in a better legal position when it comes to taking Musk to court, because it seems that having waived the due diligence and also having set the price beforehand, and now pointing to issues such as the bots, which seemed to be a reason in the first place that he was interested in taking on Twitter, because it was something that he was keen to get rid of on the platform, which was part of his original reasoning. It seems that maybe Twitter might be in a better legal position to push back on Elon Musk pulling out of the deal.
Thanks for this, Aggie. Great having you on with us this morning. Aggie Cantrill, Bloomberg News tech reporter, with us as we continue to watch the Elon Musk Twitter buyout saga on the news that Elon Musk is trying to pull out of the deal. Twitter shares this morning are down more than 6% at close to $34.50 a share. Right now, S&P futures are down 16 points. Dow futures are down 96, and NASDAQ futures leading the declines this morning down 74 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Sunshine to start the week. We'll get up to 85 degrees. Highs near 90 tomorrow and the next day with a possibility of afternoon showers or thundershowers tomorrow. Right now, 67 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers Global Analyst helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have a greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA. Up first, we begin with the latest on Twitter. Shares are down more than 6% in early trading as the showdown between Elon Musk and the social media company appears to be headed to court. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with the latest. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Elon Musk is backing out of the $44 billion deal to buy Twitter after all, but he can't just walk away without a court case. And Twitter has lawyered up in a race to sue Musk to follow through. Bloomberg sources say a filing could come as soon as early this week. Now, if the judge rules against Musk, he could be forced to pay Twitter shareholders $54.20 a share. But a ruling in his favor would let Musk walk, although he'd probably have to pay a $1 billion breakup fee, and there's always the prospect that both sides could reach a settlement. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Now, stocks are lower to begin a new trading week. It's a big week for big banks and corporate earnings. J.P. Morgan, Morgan Stanley, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo all report second quarter earnings late in the week. We also get important inflation data. The latest consumer price index comes out Wednesday, producer prices on Thursday.
Well, Nathan, when it comes to tackling inflation, the Biden administration is considering lowering tariffs on Chinese imports to provide relief. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo expects a decision from the president shortly.
He's going to do it in a thoughtful way that is strategic and also most important to him and to all of us is without hurting American workers.
And Secretary Raimondo made the comments on NBC's Meet the Press, heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. We'll speak live with Commerce Secretary Raimondo today on Bloomberg Radio and TV. Catch the conversation in the 11 a.m. Eastern hour.
Well, President Biden plans to speak with Chinese leader Xi Jinping in the coming weeks, Karen. Secretary of State Antony Blinken laid the groundwork for the call over the weekend in a conversation with the Chinese foreign minister.
And finally, in Asia, Nathan, Chinese stocks had their worst day in about a month. A slew of issues, including COVID flare-ups, led to a drop of almost 3% for Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Again, futures are lower this morning, and straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, 68 degrees in Central Park. Big problems on FDR Drive with the crash on the northbound side at 79th. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. How's your commute going so far this morning over the George Washington Bridge? The GWB went to cashless tolls over the weekend. The good news is that officials hope that will mean a smoother commute from New Jersey into New York. The bad news, it means the end of the carpooling fee. Normally, it costs $16 one way to get across the bridge. However, drivers who had a carpool discount plan on their easy passes paid about half that if they had three or more people in the vehicle.
Former advisor to former President Trump, Steve Bannon, has changed course and will cooperate with the January 6th committee. Bannon had earlier been arrested for ignoring a congressional subpoena to testify. Former President Trump and Bannon at first claimed executive privilege, even though Bannon was a private citizen that day. Loyola Law University professor Lori Levinson says the value of Bannon's testimony remains to be determined.
In terms of what he would say to the committee, I think the only thing that is clear is that he continues to be allied with Donald Trump. And so I'm not sure the committee would particularly trust what he's going to have to say, even if Bannon is willing now to appear before the committee.
Loyola Law University professor Lori Levinson. Meanwhile, Republican committee member Adam Kinzinger says this week's hearing will likely focus on the president's action the day of January 6th.
What we want to show the American people is what was the president doing during that time? The rest of the country knew that there was an insurrection. The president obviously had to have known there was an insurrection. So where was he? What was he doing?
Representative Kinzinger spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has met with the U.S.'s top diplomat, who delivered condolences over the assassination of former leader Shinzo Abe and reassurances of a strong bilateral alliance. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Japan gave Kishida a letter from President Joe Biden to Abe's family.
I shared with our Japanese colleagues the sense of loss, the sense of shock that we all feel, the American people feel, at this horrific tragedy and killing.
Secretary Blinken. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has tested positive for COVID-19. A spokesman says Schumer is experiencing very mild symptoms. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Here's John Stashower with a Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan. Yankees' first visit of the season to Boston. It started well. They won the first two games. Saturday, they had leads in the 8th and 10th innings. And last night, they twice had a 4-run lead. The Red Sox with two come-from-behind victories. They get a split of the four-game series. The Sox went from down 6-2 to an 11-6 victory. And while the Yankees still have that sizable 14-game lead, there is concern over Jameson Taillon. He's allowed 20 runs in his last four starts. His manager is Aaron Boone.
The mistakes are hurting him. That's what we got to work to correct. You know, making sure when we do make a mistake that it's, you know, not into an area where it's getting slugged. That's really hurting him. Because I thought tonight he threw the ball really well.
I know, not the only problem. Last night, some sketchy defense. Yanks failed to score over the last five-plus innings. The Mets didn't score at all in a game without a single extra base hit by either team in 10 innings. The Marlins won 2-0. Pitcher's duel between Sandy Alcantara and Taijuan Walker. Alcantara just named an all-star. Walker was not, but four Mets were named. Edwin Diaz, Pete Alonso, Jeff McNeil, and Starling Marte. Four Yankees named. Gerrit Cole, Nestor Cortez, Clay Holmes, and Jose Trevino. Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton had already been named as starters. The National League team for next week's game in L.A. will have brothers in the starting lineup. Cubs catcher Wilson Contreras and his brother William, who plays for the Braves, and will be the DH. Novak Djokovic, just after winning Wimbledon for the seventh time, said he does not expect to be allowed to come to New York for the U.S. Open since he's unvaccinated. He said it would take an easing of restrictions or a medical exemption. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. All right, Kriti, how's Twitter doing now?
Well, shares are down 6.8%. I mean, surprise, we're hitting this once again as our top mover. Huge, of course, as we talk about this deal really falling through. And let me give you the price action on Tesla as well, because we know there's that inverse relationship. Tesla shares down about 0.3%. Remember, this comes in the context of an entire market that's lower. But remember, a wave of analyst notes coming out over the weekend about simply how much pain Twitter shares are going to go through. Dan Ives, for example, who's a major tech bull, at least has built his reputation on that, is starting to say that, well, the price or the shares of Twitter could drop as low as $25. The idea here being that a lot of this is going to be kind of caught up in legal hassle. Even that $1 billion termination fee isn't really going to rescue it. And even if Twitter is once again on the deal block, who's going to buy it? Question of not just simply this particular deal, but brand value for the future. And of course, as we talk about Tesla as well, what does this do to Elon Musk's own brand value? And those are all going to be questions that we're going to explore throughout the day.
Yeah, certainly will be. And I see a lot of moves in casino stocks this morning as well. What's going on there?
Well, it's almost like the old story is the new story all over again, except this time those COVID outbreaks, well, they're hitting the gambling hub of Macau. This is huge as we talk about COVID lockdowns. Shanghai in particular, Beijing, a lot of those restrictions there ease. But then you go to Macau where a lot of American businesses have some pretty good standing there. Think about it. Wynn Resorts, Las Vegas Sands, for example, all of their international businesses are based in Macau. And now Macau saying they're going to shut almost all business premises, including casinos, for a week from Monday as a COVID-19 outbreak in the gambling hub, shows few signs of abating. So once again, this is what the scare here is, that this is not just a 1 week thing. Perhaps it lasts longer. And of course, it's going to hit the bottom lines of some of those stocks as well. So Wynn Resorts, for example, WYNN is your ticker. It's down about 5.6%. Las Vegas Sands is another one you want to keep your eye on. LVS down 5.3% as well. So Nathan, as we talk simply about those China stocks, these casino stocks are ones that you really want to keep an eye on, especially, and big emphasis here, when you talk about the volatility picture, because Nathan, this is also, we talk about airlines, we talk about cruise lines, it's kind of these volatility proxies. Well, these casino stocks are one as well.
Yeah, certainly are. And it's interesting to think about that in the context of COVID shutdowns as well. Thanks for this. As always, Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent, Kriti Gupta. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole ahead of this Monday morning open, futures are moving lower. S&P futures right now down 21 points. Dow futures down 128. NASDAQ futures, the tech-heavy index leading the declines this morning, down 92 points. That's a drop of about 0.75%. 10-year Treasury is up 4/32. The yield 3.06%. Still an inversion between the 2s and 10s. 2-year yield right now just a basis point higher than the 10-year at 3.07%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine and a high near 85 today. Mostly sunny tomorrow, but could see an afternoon shower or thunder shower. Highs near 90 degrees. We'll be back near 90, mostly sunny on Wednesday. Right now, 68 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures falling this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are in the red right now. Dow futures down 100 points. S&P's drop 18. And NASDAQ futures are lower by 78. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.07%. Gold is down 6. Oil is trading lower. And Bitcoin is down by 2%. Shanghai dropped 1.3% overnight, while European markets are also in the red this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, nothing to report. And in deal news, Twitter is down 7% in the pre-market after Elon Musk backed out of his deal. And in other news, Uber shares are down pre-market on reports of its lobbying practices. Wrapping things up, Bank of America was raised to buy over at SocGen. Lululemon was cut to underperform at Jefferies. And Occidental was cut to neutral over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has called for party unity to achieve the unfinished goals of assassinated former leader Shinzo Abe, including strengthening the military. It comes as Kishida's ruling bloc secured more seats in Parliament's upper house in elections yesterday. Also today, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Kishida to offer his condolences. President Biden says he is considering declaring a public health emergency to free up federal resources to promote abortion access. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Red Sox 11-6. The Mets lost along with the Nationals and A's. The Orioles, they won their eighth straight game. The Giants won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. Well, it's 6:49 on Wall Street. And we turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News and World Report, and number 14 in the nation on Money's Best Colleges list. Learn more at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. The latest COVID outbreak in Shanghai is getting larger. The city recorded 69 new infections on Sunday, the most since late May. There will be more mass testing in parts of Shanghai. New subvariants of the virus are proving a constant challenge to the country's zero-tolerance approach. The European Union is warning that the continent is facing one of its toughest years when it comes to natural disasters like droughts and wildfires because of increasing climate change. Extended drought conditions have hit several member states like Greece and Italy, and a heat wave last month went as far up as northern Germany. It heightened concerns across Europe for more disasters for the rest of the summer. And Wall Street expects the cryptocurrency's crash to get a whole lot worse. According to 60% of investors in the latest Bloomberg MLIV Pulse survey, the token is more likely to tumble to $10,000 than rally back to $30,000. Some $2 trillion has vanished from the market value of cryptocurrencies since late last year, according to data compiled by CoinGecko. That's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden still thinking about taking action on Chinese import tariffs to try to lower consumer prices. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo was asked about it on NBC's Meet the Press.
The president is being thoughtful about this. Unlike President Trump, those tariffs that he imposed made no sense. And so we are briefing him, and I expect to make a decision shortly.
And Secretary Raimondo is blasting Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell for threatening to block a bill boosting the U.S. chip sector if Democrats go ahead with a new spending bill on their own.
It's a false choice. He's playing politics with our national security, and it's time for Congress to do its job on both of those dimensions.
Commerce Secretary Raimondo there on ABC's This Week. Also making news, President Biden keeping a public health emergency on the table to protect abortion rights. Vice President Kamala Harris tells CBS's Face the Nation.
We also need Congress to act because that branch of government is where we actually codify, which means put into law, the rights that, again, we took for granted, but clearly have now been taken from the women of America.
And the House January 6th committee is getting ready for its next public hearing tomorrow after hearing from former White House counsel Pat Cipollone last week. Committee member Jamie Raskin was also on Face the Nation.
He was aware of every major move, I think, that Donald Trump was making to try to overthrow the 2020 election and essentially seize the presidency. And so I considered his testimony valuable.
Face the Nation This Week and Meet the Press can be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. And for more on all these stories, we're joined this morning by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. Emily, let's start off with the latest around President Biden's thinking about whether to take action on Chinese import tariffs. It seems like this decision has turned into a pretty heavy one for the president.
Yeah, this is something that the president has definitely taken his time deciding on, talking about. We know that he met with officials at the White House on Friday. Over the weekend, he told reporters that he had still not made a decision on it, although Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo said that she expects a decision shortly. Part of the problem, Nathan, could be that his own advisors are split on this one. Raimondo and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen have been pushing for a reduction in some of the tariffs, saying that while it's not going to bring down inflation, it could lower the price on some goods that Americans buy daily. And then you've got his trade representative, Catherine Tai, who's argued for keeping the tariffs in place, saying it gives the U.S. leverage in negotiations that are going on between Washington and Beijing. So you've kind of got these dual arguments here for keeping and reducing the tariffs. And certainly there's a wider relationship to consider with China, especially in light that Biden's preparing for a call with Chinese President Xi Jinping in the coming weeks, according to Secretary of State Anthony Blinken.
And it's going to be very interesting to hear more from Commerce Secretary Raimondo when she sits down with Bloomberg Radio and Television coming up later this morning in the 11 o'clock hour. So definitely looking forward to hearing more from her. Speaking of splits within the Democratic Party, Emily, are we starting to see one now when it comes to how the president should take further action when it comes to protecting abortion rights after the Supreme Court's overturning of Roe?
Yeah, there's absolutely a split right now within the Democratic Party. There is frustration among some that Biden has not responded as strongly as they were hoping, as fiercely and aggressively as they were hoping at this point. The White House, for their part, has cut basically, you know, we saw one of the communications directors come out and basically say that Biden is doing his job and that, you know, some of these progressive far left side of the party, you know, they're not in touch with what the mainstream Democrats want. So certainly some tensions there. One thing we do know is that Biden has asked his team to look into an emergency national health declaration that could sort of uphold the national ability for a woman to be able to receive abortions, kind of in the idea that, you know, with Roe v. Wade being struck down, this could potentially be a temporary measure, given that so many states at this point have already banned abortions completely or in most cases.
And finally, Emily, we're getting ready for more hearings from the House January 6th committee, at least two of them this week. And now word that former White House advisor Steve Bannon is thinking about testifying himself.
Yeah. So Bannon actually got a letter from former President Trump basically saying that Trump was releasing him from any executive privilege and that Bannon could go ahead and testify if he wanted to. This also follows after White House lawyer Pat Cipollone sat down with the committee in private and testified for numerous hours on Friday. And so we're expecting to hear perhaps a little more of that private testimony played out in videos in the hearings tomorrow and on Thursday. We know tomorrow's hearing is very specifically looking at the ties between the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, and President Trump. A lot of it centers around the tweet he sent in mid-December, basically saying, you know, calling on folks to come to the Capitol on January 6th, saying that it will be wild. The committee is really going to sort of paint a narrative that after that tweet, and even before, in the hours before that tweet was sent, that there was an intention for Trump to try and overturn the election by confronting Congress directly as they did the counting of the Electoral College votes.
Only about a minute left here, Emily, but what's behind this apparent change of heart by the president? Because there have been a lot of people in his inner circle who are fighting contempt charges to try to avoid speaking to the January 6th committee.
So one thing we know is that former President Trump has been watching the January 6th hearings. And these hearings, you know, normally when you watch a congressional hearing, you kind of have this one side sort of pushing one narrative, another side's pushing a different narrative. Nathan, there's only really one side with this committee, and they're all pushing the same narrative. And so Trump really wants someone to get in there and defend him. That is what, in his letter to Bannon, he really implied that Bannon needs to be able to do. Will be interesting to see exactly how the committee takes this. They've said that they will not be interviewing Bannon in public at first. They'll be doing a deposition behind closed doors and then potentially deciding whether or not they want to make any of that testimony public. So it's still a ways to go before we might actually hear from Bannon himself about the events of January 6th.
All right. Thanks for all this. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. And you can read more on these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2, where again, we'll be speaking with Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo in the 11 a.m. Wall Street time hour. So tune back in for that here on Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Surveillance is up next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.